Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed. Our Mishnah is going to be a continuation, a hemshech of the previous Mishnah, which told us that Bris Milah is done even on Shabbos, even though it involves a Malacha. Now, of course, we're speaking about a Bris Milah, which is taking place at its appointed time on the eighth day. Now, what about the preparations for the Bris Milah, which perhaps involved a Malacha as well? Can he do that on Shabbos? Says the Mishnah, Reb Lezer Omer, yes, even Hachana, even the Machshirei Mitzvah can be done on Shabbos. Reb Lezer Omer, Lehevi Kli Me'er Shabbos. If he had not yet brought the kli, the knife for the bris milah, in Gemara terms, it's called the ismel of the milah, the milah knife. If he hadn't yet brought the kli from before Shabbos, mevi'oi b'Shabbos, he can bring it even on Shabbos through Rishus HaRabim. Because according to him, even the preparations are considered to be on the same level as the mitzvah, and just as the mitzvah itself is doicha Shabbos, pushes away Shabbos, likewise, the machshirei mitzvah, those things required for the preparation of the mitzvah, they also have the power to be doicha Shabbos. So he brings the kli through Rishus HaRabim, and he brings it megula, revealed, uncovered. The Gemara will explain why it is necessary to do that. Ubisakana, however, in times of danger, when there is a gzera against doing bris milah, so he needs to cover it, mechaseyu, he conceals it, al pi edim, so he does it in the presence of two witnesses, who will be able to spread the word that he's actually hiding a milah knife there, it's a mitzvah, and this will deflect any possible suspicion, chashad, that perhaps he's carrying something inappropriate. V'oid Amar Belezer, in addition to this, says Rabbi Belezer, curse him, aids him. One can even chop wood, lasis pechamin, to fashion coals, lasis kli barzel, to form this metal knife for the bris milah. So that far, you can actually do this, the cutting of the wood, etc., to prepare for the bris milah and do it on Shabbos. This is the shita of Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. He holds that the only thing that is actually doicha Shabbos, that's pushed away Shabbos, is the bris itself, is the mitzvah itself, but not the preparations. Klal Omer Rekiva, Rekiva set down a rule. Kol malacha she'efshal asoysa me'erev Shabbos, any malacha which can theoretically be performed erev Shabbos, for instance, bringing of the knife, forming the knife, eina doiches ha-Shabbos. That is not doiches Shabbos. U'mila she'efshal asoysa me'erev Shabbos, in contrast to the bris milah itself, which certainly cannot be done on erev Shabbos, that is doiches ha-Shabbos. So apparently, according to Rekiva, only the actual mitzvah is considered to be the chefetz of the mitzvah, the integral part of the mitzvah, but the preparations, that's his personal preparations. That's not an integral part of the mitzvah that he must make sure to do on Erev Shabbos. Whereas according to Blazer, even the hachana, the hechsher of the mitzvah is regarded as connected, subordinate to the mitzvah itself. It's an integral part of the actual mitzvah. And therefore, according to Blazer, if he needs to, he can do those on Shabbos as well. Getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where Blazer tells us he carries a knife, Megula, revealed in Rishus HaRabim. What is the reason for that? Iboilu, so the question was asked, time with Rabbi Blazer, is the reason that Rabbi Blazer tells us to have it Megula because Mishum Chivuva Mitzvah, to express his love, his endearment for this mitzvah, that he's demonstrating to all, look, what a special mitzvah that I'm going to be Mechal Shabbos for it. So that's why he's meant to leave the knife revealed and exposed. A dilma, perhaps, Mishum Chashada. It's meant simply to deflect suspicion. Therefore, he's meant to keep it open so all can see that he's carrying for the sake of a mitzvah. They shouldn't suspect that he's doing something inappropriate. What is the difference between both svaris, between both reasons, L'mayin Afkamina? What is the ramification here? La'asuyei mechusa piedim. The question is, can he bring it Mechusa covered, up he Edom, if he did in the presence of Edom. So that would be the nafgamina between both approaches. E amrs mishum chibuva mitzvah. If the reason why he's meant to leave it revealed and exposed is to express the chaviva sa mitzvah, then there's no point in covering it in front of Edom. Megula in, then he could only bring it when it's exposed. But mechusa loy, but covered, you can't. Eli amrs mishum chashada. If the reason why he's meant to have the knife exposed is to deflect suspicion, so in this case, afilu mechusana shapir dami. Even in this case, when he covers it, but if he's doing it in front of Edom, and they can go out and testify and spread the word that you know what he has there, it's a milah knife. He's not simply carrying something, a random object. Therefore, That takes care of the problem. So he's allowed to do it when it is covered. My, what is the halacha? What is the conclusion? Itzma we learned. Omer Rav Levi, loy Omer Rav Elazar. The only reason why Rav Elazar instructed him to carry it exposed, ela lechavuvei mitzvah, to express his love for the mitzvah, that the mitzvah is dear to him. Therefore, there's no accomplishment in doing it in front of Edom. So the point here is to keep it exposed, so all will see that he is being machav of the mitzvah. So he's meant to do it strictly in that manner. Tanina mehachi, we learned likewise in the Braisa, Meviyah Megula, he brings a knife exposed, Ve'ein Meviyah Mechusa, but not covered, Divei Rav Elazar. So the fact that the Braisa expresses it in very strict terms, you can bring it exposed, but not covered. Apparently, the Braisa is coming to teach us that this is the one and only way to transport this knife. He's not meant to cover it, even if he doesn't before Edom, because the point here is to express his Chavivas HaMitzvah. Therefore, it is meant to be strictly exposed. Amar Vashi Masnisen Namideka. Our Mishnah as well will indicate likewise. Diktani, because you can make a dik as follows. The Mishnah says, "Ubishas Hasakon in a time of danger, Mechaseh Pi Edom." He covers a knife in the presence of Edom. Apparently, this is an allowance strictly for a time of danger. B'sakana in, only during a sakana. B'shloi b'sakana loy, but otherwise not. Shma mina, apparently we hear from here, mishum chivuv mitzvah. Shma mina. Apparently, the reason is to demonstrate his chavivus, his endearment of this mitzvah, that he's being machal Shabbos for it. So he's meant to keep it exposed in all situations, unless it's a time of danger. Tani idach, we learned in another braisa, Meviyah Megula, he brings a knife through Rishus Aravim, Megula exposed, Ve'in Meviyah Mechusa, and not covered, Divrei Rav Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda, Oimen B'Shem Rav Elazar, Noyahagin Nohayu B'Shas HaSakana. We were noyeg, it was customary during, for us during the Shas HaSakana, that we made exception, Shem Meviyah Mechusa, we would bring it covered up, Api Edim, which was covered up in the presence of Edim, in which case, there would be no concern of chashad, that he's carrying something inappropriate, but otherwise, we would strictly do it, Megula exposed. Iboilu. So the question was asked. We spoke about Shas HaSakana, then there's an allowance to actually cover over and conceal the knife, but make sure that you do it in front of Edom. The question is, how many witnesses are required? Edom the Ka'amar, when we use the term Edom, which is a plural term, Iyu v'chad, does it mean that it's him plus an additional person, meaning that he is part of the calculation. So you need the person himself who's carrying it plus another person for a total of two. A dilma, or perhaps who betray, in addition to the person carrying it, you need two other edim to watch him conceal it. So you need two edim. Now the point here is that a person is not considered to be a kasha witness, a qualified witness, an aid, when it pertains to something which he's nageya to. So something personal, a person cannot testify about. So here we're speaking about edim, two edim. The person himself who's carrying it, generally speaking, cannot testify with regard to something that pertains to him himself. So he's not considered to be a kasher aid. So the question here is, do we need two independent witnesses aside from him, or can he be included in the number two? Tashma, come and listen to the raya, ubesakana. The mission says, during a sakana, mechaseo pi edim, he covers it in the presence of edim. So the term here is edim, a plural term. E amas mishloim hu betray. So it's all good and well if you say that in addition to him, you need another two witnesses. Now we understand why, how the Mishnah calls them edim, because they are considered to be qualified witnesses, as opposed to he himself, who's not qualified to testify about something that pertains to himself. So bishlaim hu betray shaper, then it works well. Ela I amas, but if you suggest hu v'chad, that he is taken into account, it's all you need is him plus another person for a total of two. My edim. What does the Mishnah mean when it says edim, which implies that we need two qualified witnesses? He's not a qualified witness when it comes to something that he's involved in. Says the Gemara, we don't need qualified witnesses. It simply means my edim. Shiruim lahoyd makamacher. We need two people that theoretically, potentially, can testify in a court of law. They have the kayach, they have the power to testify. But we're not speaking about going to a bezdin here. There's no din going on here. The point, as Rashi explains, is simply to spread the word to notify and to avoid, to avert possible suspicion that he's carrying something inappropriate. So there's no need to have halachically qualified witnesses. So certainly, even when the Mishnah uses the term Edom, we're taking him into account as well. It's him plus another person for a total of two people who know what's going on, who are aware of the facts, and can spread the word. So in summary, we learned about Bris Mila, which is the Echas HaShabbos, according to Rabbi Kiva, only the Mila itself, but not the preparations for the Mila, according to Rabbi Lezer, even the preparations. For instance, transporting the knife through Shusarabim, and as Rabbi Lezer says, it needs to be Megula, and the Gemara concluded, the reason is Mishum Chivuva Mitzvah, to express the endearment for this mitzvah, to show that he's going willing to be Mechal Shabbos for it, and except for B'Shas HaSakana, during time of danger, he would cover it in front of Edom. And not only this, Rabbi Lezer says he can even go ahead and fashion the kli, he can chop wood and make coals to go ahead and form the kli, the Sakan Shemila, which is muta even on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Va'oidam Rabbi Lezer, Tana Rabbanu b'mkayma yisho Rabbi Lezer. In the locale of Rabbi Lezer, Hayukarsin Eitzim, they would follow his view. They would actually chop wood, Lasis Pecham, to form charcoals, Lasis Barzel B'Shabbos, to go ahead and create this Barzel, this knife, this Mila knife on Shabbos. So they followed his opinion. Although, generally speaking, we don't follow Rabbi Lezer's opinion, but in his location, apparently they followed his halacha. And the Mefarshim speak out that apparently it was prior to the conclusion of the greater Bezdin, which ruled in accordance with the Chachamim. Therefore, at that point in time, they would still follow his opinion in his location. In the locale of Bisak Lili, they would eat basar oif b'chalav. They would eat the meat of oif, of a bird, of fowl, b'chalav, with milk. So this is a sheet of Rabbi Yisak Lili, who says there's no isser of mixing milk and meat together when the meat is non-animal meat. It's oif meat. As we'll see soon, the Gemara will explain the drasha, the basis for the sheet. So you have two chidushim. In the place of Rabbi Lezer, they would actually do the machshirah mitzvah even on Shabbos. In the place of Rabbi Yisak Lili, they would mix the basar of oif with chalav. Says the Gemara story, Levi ikla lebei Yosef Rishba. So Levi visited the home of Yosef Rishba, the bird trapper. Krivolei, Reisha, the Tavza, Bechelva. They served him a head of a Tavza, it's translated as a peacock. Bechelva with in milk. So this was Basar Eif Bechelov. Lo Yachal. So he refused to eat. Kiasal Kameh the Rebbe. When Levi came before Rebbe, and he related to him this incident, Amalei, so Rebbe told him, Amalei so Shamtinu. Why don't you excommunicate them for behaving in this manner, for mixing milk and meat together? Amalei, so Rabbi, so Levi told him, Asrei, the Rabbi de Busei Rava. So Rabbi was questioning him, why didn't you excommunicate them? Why did you let this pass? So he told him, Amalei, Asrei, the Rabbi de Busei Rava. This was the locale, the place of Rabbi de Busei Rava. Va'amina, and I figured, Dilma Darishlu, Krabiye Seglili. I figured perhaps he expounded them, he taught to them the halacha in accordance with Rabbi Yisak Lili's opinion, who allows mixing this type of meat with milk. This nan, as we learned, Rabbi Yisak Lili Omer, Nemar lo yisoichel kol nevela. So this is one pasuk which begins by describing the Isra nevela, don't eat nevela, a carcass, a dead animal. And the pasuk continues, actually concludes with the words, lo yisavashel gdi b'chalev ima. You're not meant to cook a goat in the milk of its mother. So here we learn the Isser of Basar V'Chalav. We make a drush as follows. Only, why is the Pasuk speaking about B'Chalev Imai, its mother's milk? The Pasuk is implying that the only time there's an Isser to mix meat and milk together is if this species generates milk. Esher Asar Mishum Nevela. Before we get to that point, there is a Havamin here that perhaps even Basar Oif B'Chalav will be Asar. Why? Because once again the Pasuk begins with loyseichel kol nevela, and then concludes with the iser basar b'chalav. Perhaps I would say as follows: esher aser mishum nevela, something which is aser, which has the iser nevela pegged to it, aser lavashel b'chalav, that cannot be mixed and cooked with milk. Oif aser mishum nevela. Likewise, perhaps even oif, which has iser nevela, may not eat a dead oif. Yochel ye aser lavashel b'chalav. Perhaps there as well there would be an iser to cook the oif with chalav, because when Torah the isser is only when you cook them together. So perhaps there as well there's an isser tamaloymar bechalev imoy. The pasuk concludes leisavashal di where bechalev imoy in its mother's milk. So this implies that only an animal which generates milk has this isser yotza, excluding oif she'ein loy chalev im, whose mother does not produce milk. So apparently, only a species which generates both things, milk and meat, we may not mix those two aspects of this creature together. But oif, which does not generate milk, there's no isser of cooking the milk and the meat together. So this is the shita of Rabbi Saglili. And indeed, Levi says, look, apparently Rabbi David Masera was the one who paskin like Rabbi Saglili and allowed the members of his community to conduct themselves in this manner, and therefore there was no justification for me to penalize them. Continues the Gemara, on Rabbi Yitzchak, Ir Achas Hoysav Eretz Yisrael, there was this city in Eretz Yisrael, Shehoyu Oysav Rabbi Elezer. They would conduct themselves like Rabbi Elezer and prepare the bris meal even on Shabbos, for Yumeisim Bezmanon. And they merited on that account, as we learned earlier, doing the Malachis on Shabbos as an expression of Chavivus, endearment and love for the mitzvah, the commitment of love of mitzvah of bris. So these people, they would even prepare the bris, the machshirei mila, they would do on Shabbos. And this was an expression of their commitment to the bris mila. And as a result, vayimeisim bizmanon, they were zecha that they would only die at the appointed time, they wouldn't die prematurely. V'loy oid, not only that, ela shepam achas, there was a certain time that gozor malchus arisha, gzer al yisrael, the Malchus Arisha, which is the Roman Empire, they enacted a gzera on Yisrael to prevent them from doing mila, ala mila. On that city, there was no gzera enacted. They skipped over that city. Apparently, as a result of their true commitment to the mitzvah of bismillah, there was zeichem that they were spared the gzera on bismillah. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol mitzvah shekiblu aleim b'simcha, any mitzvah that Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves with their joy and happiness, kigoin mila, for instance, mila d'chsiv, where do we find that there is a joy related, connected to bris mila? D'chsiv, as it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, sason oichel imrosecha, I'm joyous upon, as a result of your words, kimoitzi shel rav, as though I found great spoils. So this is referring to bris mila. Why is that? Rashi will explain for us. So this is the bris mila, which we are joyous about, and we accepted b'simcha. The Gemara says, as a result of that, adayin ois noise b'simcha. Even today, we do the mitzvah of bris mila b'simcha. Rashi says, she'oisim mishta, we make a suda, to celebrate the mitzvah of bris mila. V'chol mitzvah shekibul alim b'ktata, in contrast to all mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves, but they did a b'ktata, contentiously, with quarreling, they took it upon themselves begrudgingly. K'goin arayis, like the mitzvah arayis, the chesiv, as it says in the pasuk, Vayishma Moshe, Moshe heard the nation b'ichol mishpachosav, or crying, l'mishpachosav, what does that mean? Al iske mishpachosav, they were crying on account of the concept of intermarrying amongst relatives, that they were prohibited, that the Isser was enacted, one must marry only the appropriate person. So they accepted upon themselves with crying, with begrudgingly, with quarreling. Adayin oishnois biktata, even today, it is performed, it is done biktata, with quarreling. How is that? The lecha ksuva, there's no ksuva, there's no marriage document which is written, loiromo beatigra, in which there's no some form of quarreling present when they sit down to make the arrangements for the wedding, the financial arrangements. So the ksuva features some sort of element of quarreling, and this is as a result of the fact that this whole concept was accepted with ketata. Let's take a look at Rashi, explains for us the pasuk of sason oichi, how it relates to mila. Rashi here is 23 lines from the bottom, beginning with the word sason oichi l'mrasecha. Why is this connected to Mila? It says Rashi, Imra Secha is a Lashon Yachad, Amira Yechida, referring to that single word, that single instruction of Hashem, Shekod Melashar Amira, which preceded the other instructions, the other words of Hashem, the other mitzvahs, Vihi Mila. This is referring to Bris Mila, which was given to Avraham Avinu prior to the other mitzvahs. So this is the Sasa Noich al Imra Secha, and I'm joyous about it. Shisrol Oisin Vesasim Allah, they do it and they're joyous about it. Why? The whole Shar mitzvahs. Says Rashi, a remarkable thing. All other mitzvahs, Eilin Mechiches Kol Shar, they're not something which demonstrate all the time. They're not something visible all the time. You go in Tefillin, or Mezuzah, Vetzitzis, because they're relatively limited mitzvahs. They're not present when he's out in the field working. He doesn't have his mezuzah there. Perhaps his tefillin. V'orim, when he's undressed, he doesn't even have his tzitzis then. But bris milah is a constant feature on a person. Avozu meid aleim le'olam. This testifies regarding our commitment to Hashem, our eternal, unbreakable bond to Hashem. It's there constantly. It's eternal. Even when we're in a Beis HaMerchatz. As Rashi brings, k'damrinu b'menachis. But David, this is regarding David HaMelech himself. Shira asked me Beis HaMerchatz. He looked at himself when he was in the Beis HaMerchatz, when it's there, he was distressed. He said, look, I'm missing all the mitzvahs. V'amar oily shani orim kol mitzvahs. I'm bereft of all the mitzvahs. I don't have my tzitzis, my tefillin. Kimishin estakel b'mila nisyashva daitoi. His mind was at ease when he saw the mila, that it's accompanying him constantly, 24/7. So this is a source of constant joy for us. That shows that our constant, uninterrupted, eternal bond with Hashem. So this was the mitzvah which Klal Yisrael relate to b'simcha, and even today we do it b'simcha. Rashi says b'simcha shoyse mishta, we make a celebration, a suda. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, we learned to b'shim lozer omer kol mitzvah shemasru Yisrael atzmar leim lemisa. Any mitzvah which Klal Yisrael gave their life over for it, they were meisa nefesh b'shas gzeres samachus, at the time when there was a decree enacted against it, kigoyin avedus kechavim, Klal Yisrael was meisa nefesh, they gave away their lives not to be over the avera of idol worship or mila. Likewise, when it comes to mila adayin himuchzekes biyadim, it's still firm in their hands as a result of their absolute commitment and willingness to be meisa nefesh for this mitzvah. V'chol mitzvah shaloi masru Yisrael atzman aleh olamisa. B'shas gzeres hamachus, in contrast to other mitzvah, where Klal Yisrael was not willing to sacrifice themselves during the gzera of the malchus, kigoyin tefillin, adayin himirupa biyadim, it's still weak, relatively weak in their hands. Let's see why. The Amar Rav Yanai, tefillin tzrichen guf naki, kelisha bal knafayim. So a tefillin require one to maintain a clean body out of respect for the tefillin. Just like Elisha Bal Knafayim, we'll see the story mentioned soon, that he treated his tefillin with utmost respect. He maintained the gufnaki. We're meant to follow in that manner and do likewise. But Rashi brings that the fact that he's relating to Elisha Bal Knafayim as that example of the person who did it properly. Apparently, not all were careful enough. Mahi, what is this gufnaki that we're referring to, that one is meant to maintain when he wears his tefillin? Amar Abayish Le'efich Ben, make sure that you don't pass wind. Rav Amar Shlaishim, we shouldn't sleep with them because that might cause them to pass wind. V'amai kor le'Elisha Bal Knafayim. Now, why was this fellow given the term Elisha Bal Knafayim? Elisha, we know that was his name, but why Bal Knafayim, the man of wings? Says the Gemara, as a result of the following story, we find that indeed he demonstrated a great commitment, a great mysterious nefer, sacrifice for the mitzvah tefillin. Shepam achas, there was a time shegozo malchus harisha, the Roman malchus decreed a gzeira al Yisrael shekol ameniach tefillin al roishay, one who places tefillin on his head, yikros meichay, they will bore out his brain, which is right underneath the place where they put the tefillin. And the mafarshim speak out that they were particularly concerned about the tefillin shel roish, which has Hashem's name on it, which testifies to Hashem's Shechina resting on Klal Yisrael. It demonstrates our uniqueness and the specialty of Klal Yisrael. So they were particularly threatened by the tefillin shel roish, and they decreed that nobody should wear it. V'hoya Elisha maniach tefillin. He defied the gzeira and he would put on his tefillin. So he put them on, v'yasa l'shuk, went out to the marketplace. V'yivro kaster echa, this officer saw him. Rots melefonam, so Elisha took off, he ran away from him. V'ratz achrav, and the officer pursued him. Kiven shegei etzloi. As soon as he caught up to him, not lam miroishoi. So Elisha quickly removed it from his head. V'achso miyodai, and held it in his hand. Covered it with his hands. Amalei ma miyodcha, what's in your hand? Amalei, he told him, kan feyoina. In this hand, I actually have the wings of a dove. Pashat es yodai. So he obliged him to open his hand. And he opened his hand, v'nimtzu b'kanfiyon, indeed. What did they find there? They found wings of a dove. So there was a miracle done for him on account of his mesiras nefesh, his dedication for mitzvahs film. Lefichach, as a result of this story, ha'yukurin oisei bal knafayim. They would call Elisha bal knafayim, the man of wings. Now why specifically kanfiyona? He needed to say something, but why do you have to say dove's wings? Maishna kanfiyona. There was a message here. Maishna kanfiyona, the amarle, why specifically the wings of a bird, v'loy amarle shar oifois, and he didn't tell him the wings of another bird. Mishum de damya kan sisrol yona, because Kaisro is compared to a dove, shenemar kanfiyona, the wings of a dove, nechva kesef, covered with silver, v'viseb, raka choritz. Why is Kaisro compared to a yoina, my yoina zu, just as this dove, knafeo meginas alea, its wings protect itself, protect him from predators. As Rashi says, it doesn't ward off its predators using its beak, but rather using its knafayim, af yisrael, likewise, kal yisrael, mitzvahs. The mitzvahs that we perform, meginas alea, those mitzvahs, protect her from their enemies. So that's why he used the term kanfiyoina, to imply that is actually the mitzvahs that protect us. So in summary, we learned that the mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael accepted upon them with simcha, like the bris milah, they still today perform that bris with simcha. In contrast to the mitzvah of arayis, which they were mekabel b'ketat with quarreling and contentiousness, was accepted begrudgingly with bechia, the pasuk says. So even today, there's some form of quarreling which takes place during the wedding arrangements. The Gemara concluded that the mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael with Moisa Nefesh about, like Avodah Zarah and Bris Milah, those mitzvahs are firm in their hands, as opposed to a mitzvah which Klal Yisrael was not Moisa Nefesh about during the time of Gzeirah, such as Tefillin. That mitzvah is roughly biyadam, it is weak in their hands, meaning that not all of us do the mitzvah properly in its most preferred manner. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rab Abba Barav Adam Rav Yitzchak. Pamachas, there was once a time, shachachu, they forgot, v'lo yehiviu izmel. They didn't bring the izmel, which is the milah knife, made of Shabbos. So they didn't bring it before Shabbos, they forgot. V'yehiviu b'Shabbos. And they transported on Shabbos, derech gagois, through rooftops, derech hatzeres, through courtyards, shaloi b'tzon Reb Lezer. This was not compatible with the view of Reb Lezer. Says, well, what do you mean? Maskef l'Reb Yosef. Shaloi b'tzon Reb Lezer? Why is this not in accordance with the view of Reb Lezer? Adrab, just the opposite. Reb Lezer, who the Shari? Reb Lezer is the one who allows transporting the knife even through the Shizarabim. V'chitem, perhaps, what he meant to say was, Shaloi b'ritzun Reb Lezer, it's unlike the Shita of Reb Lezer, the Shari, afilu b'shizarabim, who allowed even Shizarabim. Ele b'ritzun Rabbanon, rather, it was compatible with the Ratzon Rabbanon, the Asru, derech Shizarabim, that prohibited transferring the knife through Shisurabim, Visharu, however they allowed, there are gagois through rooftops, there are chatzeres through courtyards, v'karfifas, a karfif is this enclosed, unroofed storage area. It's not a residential area, it's a storage area generally. So this knife was transferred through these non-residential areas. Now Rashi points out there was no eruv done generally to transfer from one person's rooftop to the other person's rooftop, or from one chatzit to the other, an eruv needs to be done to merge, to combine the ownership. So there was no eruv present here. So it involves an issa d'rabbanon. So this was allowed, even though an issa minatoyra a melacha of haitzot through shisurabim, the rabbanon do not allow, but merely an issa d'rabbanon carrying through the chatzeres, the gagos, the chafifos, they did allow. So as far as that the case, really? Chacham allow bringing a mila knife through a prohibited area? Umi Shari? Is that allowed? Vatani, we learned in the Brisa, Kishem Shein Revino Yisai. Just like we don't bring the knife, Derech Shisarabim, which involves a Malachim and a Torah, Kach Ein Revino Yisai. Likewise, we don't bring it, Loi Derech Gaga is not through the rooftops, that don't have an area with each other, Loi Derech Kafifa is through the storage areas, Loi Derech Hatziris, nor through courtyards. So what is the pshat in the fact that they brought the knife through the gagos and chatzeres, shaloi b'yitzon Reb Lezer? What do you mean shaloi b'yitzon Reb Lezer? Reb Lezer allows the knife to be brought through shisurabim, and how can you say it's going according to shisurabbanon, according to the ratzon rabbanon, who don't allow carrying through an area which has no eruv? Says the Gemara, Ella, you know what he meant to say? Elam Ravashi Shaloi Bertzoin Rablez Umachlo Kasai. Indeed. He didn't mean to say that they weren't following Rablezer, but following the Rabbanon. He didn't mean to say that, because even according to Rabbanon, this would be Asr. He meant to say, Shaloi Bertzoin Rablezer, it was incompatible with the will, with the Shita Rablezer, who allows even Terushas Rabbim. Apparently, they did not follow that Shita. The fact that they did not bring it to Terushas Rabbim. And it was not in accordance with the Machlik Kasai, meaning they're his disputants, meaning he's the ones that are Chaylik on Rablezer, the Chachamim, because they wouldn't even allow bringing it through a place that's lacking Erev. So who then did they follow? Ela b'ratzon Rav Shimon. They were following the Ratzon, the view, the opinion of Rav Shimon. It's not as we learned in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon, I mean, echad gagois, whether we're speaking about rooftops, transferring through rooftops, v'echad karfifois, whether we're speaking about transferring through these storage areas, v'echad chatzeres, likewise the courtyards, kulan rishos achas hein. They're all regarded as one rishus, one domain. They're all one type. They're similar areas. They're non-residential areas. So one may transfer from a rooftop to the other, from a rooftop to a courtyard, from a courtyard to a confrere, if they're all considered to be one, like one domain. Lekelim sheshavsa b'seichem. So all considered to be rishus achas heim. Lekelim sheshavsa b'seichem, with regard to a utensil, which rested inside that, meaning the object that was present in any of these types of areas at the onset of Shabbos, that object is classified as a non-residential object. It's sitting in a chatzar, which is a non-residential area. It's not like a person's home, which is designated for him specifically. So this object belongs to a non-residential area, a rooftop, a courtyard, a storage area. Therefore, we allow transfer of this object to all the other areas which are of similar nature. But not with regard to kelim which rested inside one's home, meaning the object which was present inside the bayis at the commencement of Shabbos, at the first point of Shabbos, that object becomes classified as a residential object, an object which is designated for very personal use within the person's home. That cannot be transferred without an erev. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi here is 8 lines from the top, beginning with the words, the Snan of Shimon Aymer, Echad Gagois V'chulu Kulan. All these various courtyards, rooftops, etc. V'afilu Heim Shobalam Harbi. Even if they belong to many owners. Metaltum Mizel Azeh. One may transfer from one to the other. Why? This is the punchline. Shalai Deloi Asru Mirishus L'Rishus. The Chacham did not prohibit transferring from one Rishus, from one domain to the other. Ela Batim. Only when it pertains to homes. Meaning like this. Just perhaps just a quick overview, introduction of these concepts of Erev. We're going to have a synopsis of Maseches Erev in here. So we have Batim, which are homes, so the individual homes, designated for personal use. The Batim, the homes, are situated in courtyards. So we have a bayis and a chatzar surrounding it. The chatzar features several homes. So it's a communal area, it's a shir area, it's a common area. Then we have the chatzeres, which join into another area called mavi. Mavi is the alleyway. Mavi means the entranceway. Mavi. Mavi v'shus harabim. So again, we have the houses, which are situated in the chatzeres, and the chatzeres, which merge, which lead into the alleyway, which are open to the alleyway, which goes into the v'shus harabim. Now, in order to carry from one to the other, from the bayis to the chatzer, the chum required them, meaning all the residents of this courtyard, to make an Erev Chatzeres. Why? Rashi, the Rambam, the Rishonim explain, this was done as a concern, that perhaps if we allow transferring from two types of domains, from the bayis, which is designated to Ruvain, over to the Chatzer, which is a shared area, which is a communal area, which is designated to all the residents of the courtyard. So it appears as though he's taking from Ruvain's place to Shimon's place. So perhaps, as a result, he would go and carry from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, the Chacham prohibited transferring from an area which is designated for a personal use, from Reuven's home, into this communal area, into this Chatzar. It appears as though he's taking something from one type of domain to the other, like Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim. So unless they make an Erev Chatzeres, one cannot transfer. The Erev Chatzeres accomplishes the following. It merges the ownership of the Chatzar. It makes them as though They're all living in one house, one happy family. It's just one designation. There's one use here. There's one dira here. There's one residence here. And therefore, there's no concern transferring from a house to the courtyard. It's all one big happy family. It's not like Reuven's Rishus going over to Shimon's Rishus. It's all as though it's one residence, one home, one ownership, one domain. So that's the point of the Erev Chatzeres, as we're going to learn in Seches Erevin. So the Erev Chatzeres allows transferring from the bayis to the chatzer. Likewise, there's a concern regarding transferring from the chatzer to the mavi, which is used by more than one chatzer. So we have two chatzeres, two courtyards, merging into a mavi, using this mavi. They cannot transfer an item from the chatzer, which is an area which is designated specifically for these homeowners, to the mavi, which is a communal area, which is going to be used and shared by various chatzeres. So once again, we're running into the same problem, because they're transferring from one domain, one ownership, to a different ownership. And one may confuse this with Rishus Yachad Rishus Rabim, as mentioned earlier. Therefore, we require an Erev to be done here as well. Rashi says, the Erev of the Mavi is called Shituf. Erev of the Chatzeres B'Mavi Kari Shituf. Shituf means a partnership. So it's the same concept. They go ahead and they merge their ownership in the Mavi. And they say, well, don't look at it as though there are five Chatzeres coming independently to use this Mavi. Let's go ahead and merge all the Chatzeres together. It's as though there's only one Chatzer here. It's one big happy family. It's one residence. It's all one rishus, and going forward, we don't view it as though they're taking from the chatzar belonging to these people into the mavi, which is shared by others. Rather, it's all considered to be one huge single domain, and there's no transferring taking place. So that's the point of shituf mevois. Now, according to the Rabbanan have a different approach than Reb Shimon. Rabbanan hold that in order to allow transfer from the bayis to the chatzer, we need an erev chatzeres. From the chatzer to the mavi, we need a shituf mevois. Now, this halacha pertains even to an item which was sitting in the chatzer at the odd point, at the onset of Shabbos, at the beginning of Shabbos. Although this item was not in the person's private domain, it wasn't his personal home. Nevertheless, we cannot transfer from a chatzer to a mavi unless they combine their ownership. Likewise, if an object was sitting on a person's rooftop, on a gag, he cannot transfer it to his neighbor's rooftop unless they did an Erev. Whereas Reb Shimon maintains that this whole concept of Erev or Shittif only applies to bias, as Rashi says, to bata, meaning to something which relates to one's personal use, one's residential use, an item which was designated to be used in the bias. It was present in one's home at the onset of Shabbos. That's designated for very personal use. It's sitting in a very personally designated domain. It's his home. Only that requires an Erev Chatzeres, because he's going to transfer it from his personal domain. It's an item designated for his very personal use in his privacy of his home. Take it into the Chatzer, which is a communal area. That's considered to be a transfer of domains, a Shinoi versus a significant Shinoi, a significant change and transformation. But let's say that an item was sitting out in the chatzah, which is a non-residential area. It's not a person's private domain. It's not a mokum dira. It's not his house. So the item sitting there is not really standing to be used on a very personal level. It's not designated for his private personal use. It's sitting out in the chatzah. It's classified as a non-residential object. According to Reb Shimon, there's no concern transferring this object throughout all these areas, which are non-residential areas, the chatzeres, the karfifois, the gagin, as long as you don't get a bias involved, there's no need for an erev, there's no need for a shittif. So that's the Mishnah of Shimon tells us, that echad gagois, vechad karfifois, vechad chatzeres, rooftops, courtyards, and karfifois are these storage areas, which are classified as non-residential areas, that are not a person's private home. So a kli that was shavsu besoicham, the kli that was present in these areas at the onset of Shabbos, has been classified as a non-residential item, at least for this Shabbos, and therefore there's no concern transferring it from one place to the other within all these non-residential areas, because it wasn't designated for a person's private use. It wasn't sitting in a person's private, intimate domain. It wasn't in his home, and therefore it's not as though you're taking something from Reuven's domain and putting it into Shimon's domain, because it wasn't really connected to him on a deep personal level. So this is the Shita of Reb Shimon. So the Gemara tells us, that's the pshat in the story. They forgot to bring the knife. They brought it on Shabbos through the rooftops, through the courtyards. Shalei b'tzun Reb Lezer, not in accordance with the Shita of Reb Lezer, who allows even through Rishis Rabbim. Rather, as the Gemara concluded, it was b'ratzon in Reb Shimon, who allows, even for non-mitzvah purposes, transferring of items throughout all these non-residential areas, and therefore they were allowed to bring the knife through the courtyards, through the rooftops, without any concern whatsoever. So in summary, regarding bringing a knife on Shabbos, how can he do that? According to Reb Lezer, even through Rishis HaRabim, according to Chachamim, only through Rishis HaYachad, which has an Erev, a proper Erev done to it. According to Reb Shimon, he agrees in concept with Chachamim. However, he holds that generally speaking, all these non-residential areas, Gagoyes, the Chatzeres, and Kafibas, don't require an Erev. So certainly there's no reason to hesitate from transferring a knife throughout all these areas, even on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Boi Minei Reb Zera, Reb Asi. So you ask Reb Asi the following question. Mavoi, Shelo Nishtatfa Boi. So we know that this Mavoi is this alleyway in which the people who live in the Chatzeres, they access it to go to the Rishis HaRabim. Now, as we learned, a Mavi requires a Shituf, a partnership to be enacted between all the fellows of the Chatzeres to allow transferring something from the courtyards to the Mavi. Now, there's one more thing that the Mavi needs. Aside from the Shituf, it also needs a physical adjustment done to it, which is called Lechi or Koira, as we learned earlier, in order to call attention to its separateness from Rishis HaRabim. There's a concern that if we allow carrying throughout this alleyway, perhaps a person will think, carry here, carry Rishis HaRabim. He won't differentiate. He won't realize that the mummy is actually Rishis HaYachad because it's fully enclosed, almost fully enclosed. It's surrounded with three mechitzes. So in HaTorah, it's Rishis HaYachad. So to prevent confusion, the Chacham said that one can only carry throughout a mummy if you go ahead and erect either a lechi, a side post at the entranceway to Rishis HaRabim. So at the entranceway to the Mavi, you must make that side post or a kara, which is a crossbeam, to separate the two areas to call attention to the fact that this is a Rishis HaYachad, and that's why you can carry there. So once again, a proper Mavi is a Mavi that has, number one, a physical adjustment, the lechi or the kara. In addition to the shituf, the partnership, the merged ownership between all the fellows that live in the chatzah. Says the Gemara, what about the following case? So Mavi has a lechi, has a kira, so it has that physical adjustment done to it, but they did not make a shittuf. The people living in the chatzeres did not combine their ownership. So they certainly cannot go ahead and transfer from the chatzah to the Mavi. That's certainly not allowed. The question is, ma'u l'taltal b'kule? Can one go ahead and transfer throughout this Mavi? So we have a kli that was sitting in this mavi at the beginning of Shabbos. It wasn't in the chatzar, so it doesn't need to be transferred into the mavi. It's already present in the mavi. The question is, can one go ahead and move around this kli throughout the mavi? Ma'u taltal b'kule? Mi amrin, do we say k'chatzar? Let's equate it to a chatzar. K'chatzar dami. It's equated to a chatzar. Ma chatzar, just as a chatzar. Afagav lo irvu, even though they did not make an erev. So if the people living in the chatzar neglected to form an Erev before Shabbos, so that prevents them from transferring from their homes to the courtyard. But certainly, there's nothing to prevent them from carrying throughout the Chatzar an object which was present in the Chatzar at the onset of Shabbos. So just like the Chatzar Shalai Afgad Lo Yirvu Mutal Tata Bakuloi, one may transfer throughout the entire Chatzar, Hainami. Likewise, when it comes to the Mavi, Afgad Lo Nishtatfavai, even though they did not perform a Shit of Mavoyas here, so although they're not allowed to transfer from the chatzar to the mavi, that's considered to be a transfer of domains, a change of reshuyos. But something which is present in the mavi itself, which is connected, which is identified with the mavi itself, mutal tatal b'kulay, one certainly can go ahead and transfer this object throughout the mavi. It's not a karmelis. It's not considered to be an unfenced area which the chachamim prohibited, limited the carrying only within 4 amos. There's no reason to limit the freedom here. Oydilma. On the other side of the coin, perhaps, you can't equate it to a chatzar. Why? The chatzar is leidal mechitzes. A chatzar has 4 proper mechitzes, partitions, which are enclosing it. It's considered to be a proper Rishis HaYachad. So even though it's lacking the Erev, so what? Hi, Leslie, Dal Machitzis, in contrast to the Mavi, which does not feature four full partitions surrounding it. Meaning that it really only has three Machitzis, and the fourth one is wide open, except there's a Lechi or a Kira situated there, which are considered like they're completing the enclosure. So with the Rabbanon, they require the physical adjustment, the physical addition, to be added to properly enclose the Mavi. Now, the Lechi and the Kira are meant to call attention to its separateness. To call attention to the fact that the Mavi is not Rosh Hashanah. We view it as it's fully enclosed, it's not Rosh Hashanah, it's fully surrounded by Mechitzes. Now, this is far to say that this allowance only applies, meaning the fact that the Chachamim consider the Lechi, which is really a very flimsy type of Mechitzes, just a small side post, or the Kira, they consider that to be like a Mechitza. That's only because there's traffic in the Mavi. There are people using the Mavi. It's visible, it's public, it's a public demonstration of the separateness of the Mavi from Rosh Hashanah. But in this case, where the people living in the Chatzeres are precluded and are prevented from transferring into this Mavi because they didn't do a Shituf Mevois, yeah? They can't really properly use the Mavi. So perhaps the fact that there is so much less use of the Mavi, so much less traffic present on Shabbos, the Chacham will not regard the Lechi as significant enough because it's not visible, it's not a public demonstration, there's hardly anybody there to see it. So perhaps they will ignore it. They'll negate it. They won't consider it like a mechitza. So this mavi will be treated as if it's missing the lechi v'kira. Therefore, one may not carry throughout the mavi. So that's the distinction between a mavi. The difference between a mavi and a chatzar. A chatzar is fully enclosed. There's no reason to prohibit carrying, as opposed to the mavi, which doesn't really have four mechitzas. Only has that flimsy lechi or kira. But perhaps that only works when there are people present, as opposed to this mavi, which is not going to be commonly used this Shabbos. Inami. Alternatively, there's another reason that Mavi is inferior to Chatzar. Chatzar is l'diyurin. A Chatzar is commonly used. It's right outside the homes. It's a commonly used area. So that's different than a Mavi. High less l'diyurin. This Mavi doesn't really have much traffic going through it. So perhaps, since there's a very low level of traffic coming through here, a very small flow of people here, because again, this is not a convenient area, this Shabbos, because it wasn't there was no shittuf done to it. So perhaps the Chacham will treat it like a karmelis. A karmelis is like a field, like an unfenced area. Perhaps it will not have a din l'shus hayachid, because just as a karmelis is a place which is not frequented by much people, likewise, this mavi, since it's not going to be frequented by many people, certainly during this Shabbos, because there is no shittuf being done here, so perhaps as a result of lack of shittuf, this deficient mavi does not allow carrying throughout the mavi at all. Shasik, so he remained silent. Once again, this was who Rav Zeira asking Rav Asi, can one carry throughout a deficient mavi? So he remained silent. He didn't respond to him. Apparently, he didn't know the answer, whether or not one may carry in a mavi. Says the Gemara Zimnan, there was another time, Hashkeche, that Rav Zeira encountered Rav Asi, the Yosef Akame, he was sitting and saying the following story. And the name of Rav Shlokish. Omar. Yosef Kamar Omar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish Meshum in the name of Yehuda Nasir. Pam Achaz Shachachu. So there was once a time, this was Rav Yehuda Nasir saying, there was once a time that they forgot to bring the knife. Shachachu V'leiviu Izmel Merav Shabbos, they forgot to bring the Mila knife. V'viu B'Shabbos, and they brought it on Shabbos. V'hoya Adover Kosh L'Chachamim. Now the Chachamim that were there, or that heard about it, it was very difficult for them to swallow this. Why? How did they disregard the sheet of Chachamim who don't allow Bimechal Shabbos in this context? How could they disregard the Chachamim and follow Rabbi Lezer? Chada, number one, the Rabbi Lezer Shemutiyu. Rabbi Lezer was excommunicated. This is a story related in the Gemara elsewhere, because he didn't yield to the view of the majority. There's another pshat that Shamuti means he was in Talmidim of Beis Shammai. Shamuti is connected to Shammai. And generally, Halacha doesn't follow the Shita of Beis Shammai. So how can they follow this opinion? Va'oid, in addition, Yachad v'Rab, Malacha k'Rab. When there's an individual who's disputing a Rab, many, we follow the Rab, the majority. So how could they follow the Shita of Rabbi Lezer? And the continuation is as follows. Va'omar Beisha. So Ba'isha responded to the Chachamim, who found it very difficult. He told them, look, it wasn't as bad as he thought. She'ila says Rabbi Yehuda HaGoyzer. I actually inquired with Rabbi Yehuda HaGoyzer, the cutter, he was a Mayo. And he related to me that the actual facts of that incident was as follows. It wasn't being transferred to Rosh Hashanah. Rather, the knife was in a mavi, which was lacking the shittif, so it was a somewhat deficient mavi. They simply transferred the knife from one side of the mavi to the other. It never went to Rosh Hashanah. There's no reason for concern. So this was the end of the story, which Rav Asi was sitting and saying over this whole story, beginning from the Rish Lakish with Rav Dan Nasi, and then Rav Isha's explanation. Now, Rav Zera overhearing this halacha, this whole incident, with the conclusion that it was merely being carried through a mavi without a shittif. Apparently, this is mutar. Amar Levi. So Rav Zera, he confronted Rav Asi. He says, "Svili lamar, do you hold mavi shlanishtafa by mutar talta bekulay? Do you hold that a mavi which is lacking shittif, one is allowed to transfer throughout the whole mavi as you have just related to me?" Amar Levi. So he responded, "Yes, certainly." Amalei, Rav Zera asked him, "Vazimim boyimenach." There was a different time that I asked you this very question, "Vliyamersli," and you hadn't responded to me. "Vliyamersli," you hadn't responded to me in this manner. Dilma, perhaps, agav shitvach, on account of your flow, meaning through the flow of your reviewing that story, that halacha, in the name of Shem Malakish, roit loch gemarach. Your the gemara, meaning the end of the story, the teaching that you had heard, meaning the explanation of Rav Isha, was recalled to you. Amar Lasi said, "Yeah, in, yes, exactly, that's exactly what happened. Agav shitva, through the flow of remembering, of repeating this, the halacha rehita ligmari, the teaching that I had forgotten became recalled to me, and therefore, indeed, that is the halacha one may transfer throughout this type of mavi. Itmar, we learned Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav, mavi shlein shtatvamai, so this deficient mavi which lacks shittuf, ein matatvamai. Ela b'dalat ames, one can only transfer within 4 ames. We regard it like a karmelis. Om Rabbi, Hom Milsa, this halacha, Om Rabzera said over, V'lei Pirsha, but he didn't properly explain it. Ad Asa, until Rabba Baravo came, Upirsha, and he explained it. The Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravo, Omar Rav, so he said the name of Rav as follows. Mavish Lenish Tatvaboy, a mavi which is lacking shittif, so this is a efficient mavi. Irvu chatzerusim batim. So he said it depends, meaning that what Rav Zera told us in the name of Rav, that a mavi which is deficient, which doesn't have shittif, one may not carry within it. It depends on the circumstance. Not all cases will be us. Mavi shlenish tafaboy. Irvu chatzerusim batim. It depends. If the chatzerus had enacted their erev with the batim, meaning there was an erev chatzerus amongst the homeowners of the chatzer, a metalton by el b'dal damis. In this case, indeed, one may not be metalton in the mavi, only within 4 amos. So there's no allowance for free carrying. However, lo yirvu chatzeres in batim, but if there was no erev chatzeres done inside the courtyards, mutzel talton b'kuloi, one indeed is allowed to be metalton throughout the entire mavi. Now, how exactly are these two concepts related to each other? We will see in the upcoming Gemara, which concludes with a very clear explanation for the connection between these two things. Perhaps it would be wise to leave it for the next year, because it's a little bit complicated. But in any case, that was the conclusion here, that the limitation of carrying in this deficient mavi only pertains to certain situations. In time for a brief review of today's daf, we began with the mitzvah of Mila, which is Derech Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says strictly only the Mila itself, which cannot be done before Shabbos, but not the preparations. Rabbi Eliezer maintains even the preparations, such as bringing the kli or making the kli, the mila knife, can be done on Shabbos. He says, well, when you bring that kli from through Shas Rabbim, you must bring it megula, revealed, and the Gemara tells us, on account of chivuvi mitzvah, to express one's love and dearness for the mitzvah, that look, he's even willing to be mechal Shabbos for the mitzvah of mila. The Gemara tells us that in a Shas HaSakana, certainly don't risk your life, don't leave it exposed, cover it up, but do it in front of Adam, who has passed the word on, and this by doing so, he reverts and deflects any possible suspicion that perhaps he's carrying something inappropriate. The Gemara tells us, all mitzvahs, the Klal Yisrael accepted upon some besimcha, they still do it besimcha, like bris milah, as opposed to arayis, which is accepted biktata. The Gemara says, mitzvahs, they were moisen nefesh on, like a vedizar and milah, are still firm in our hands, as opposed to tefillin, which is still somewhat weak, in our hands. The Gemara says regarding bringing a knife through Rishus HaRabim, that is La'al Kuntra Blazer. Kuntra HaChamim, it must be through Rishus HaYachad that has a proper air. Kuntra Pshimin, one can transfer through courtyards, rooftops, Karfifa storage areas, even without an Erev. Because according to him, there's no need for an Erev when it comes to these areas, when it comes to transferring a Chafetz, which was present in one of these non-residential areas at the onset of Shabbos. The Gemara concluded with a story which appears to be telling us that one may transfer throughout an entire Mavi, which has a Lechi Ukir, so it has those physical adjustments, but it's lacking the Shituf. Nevertheless, one may carry throughout the Mavi. The Gemara concluded, well, it depends on the situation, as we'll see in the upcoming daf.